Blog Talk Radio.
Of Sports Chat with your man T. Wash. I got a couple of topics I'm going to talk about today. We're going to get off into the NCAA college football playoff. We're going to talk about this NFL wild card weekend that's coming up. I mean, I know we all happy for that. Playoffs begin, so whole new season. We also going to talk a little NBA. But first, I got to start with something that's near and dear to my heart. A lot of people know, and if you guys don't know, I am a big-time New England Patriot fan. I've been a Patriot fan for 25-plus years. I became a Patriot fan in 1993 as a sophomore in high school, and I just want to get touch base on the drama that's happening in Foxborough right now. And I'm going to be real. Tom Brady is the GOAT. I mean, he is. But I'm in agreement with Bill Belichick. And I've been saying this for months. Belichick basically wanted to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. He didn't want to let Jimmy Garoppolo walk. He wanted to start anew. And what I was hoping for, I was hoping that the Patriots could go on the run this year, win another Super Bowl, then they just released Tom Brady out of respect. And, you know, that releasing him, that'll allow him to pick which team he want to go to, and then start fresh with Jimmy G. I mean, because – if you just look at what Jimmy G's doing in San Francisco, these dudes, they had one victory before they traded Jimmy G there. Jimmy G closed the season 5-0. I mean, he threw 6 touchdowns and 5 picks, but he looked good. I mean, he's mobile, and he's accurate. And, I mean, you could just hear when Belichick did the press conference, letting the media know that the trade went down, and he showed how much he appreciated Jimmy and everything, and you could hear the glowing talk in his voice, you know, how he was talking about Jimmy. And you guys tell me, when have you heard Bill Belichick praise a quarterback, a backup quarterback, the way he praised Jimmy? He wanted to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. And like I said, Tom Brady's the GOAT. You know, I give him that. He surpassed Joe Montana. And, you know, Tom Brady's not the reason I'm a Patriot fan. Drew Bledsoe was my favorite quarterback. That's the reason I became a Patriot fan. I mean, like I said, I like Tom Brady, you know, and I recognize him as the GOAT, but if it's true that he went to Bob Kraft and basically facilitated this trade, basically forcing Belichick's hand to get Garoppolo out of there, then I think that was a sucker move. And they said that, you know, word is that Brady was basically worried about Jimmy taking his job. And like I said, I wanted them to get one last run this year, possibly win a Super Bowl, and then let Brady go and let's start over fresh with Jimmy. That's another 10 to 15 years of good gameplay and consistency, which they've done for the last 17 years. It would have continued with Jimmy. Tom Brady's one hit away from being done. So I truly think it was a big mistake for Bill Belichick, you know, to trade him. But it wasn't up to Bill. Robert Kraft mandated that he trade Jimmy Garoppolo. That's the word that's coming out. And like I said, it's funny because I've been saying this. Belichick didn't want to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. They forced his hand. And so now, you know, all you Patriot haters, you may be able to rejoice because honestly think that this is going to be the last playoff run that they all do together. The offense and defensive coordinator, they're up for coaching jobs. And I think if both of them don't leave, at least one of them going to leave. And the way this has come public now, I think Belichick might end up leaving, you know, which is going to leave a 41-year-old quarterback and the owner still in Foxborough. Now, if Josh McDaniels could stay and be the coach if Belichick was to leave, then they may still have some success. But, you know, I mean, we just something we're going to have to find out. I'm looking forward to this playoff run to see what happens. But I just wanted to touch base, you know, on what was going on in Foxborough right now. And I see we have a caller, so let's see who this is. What's going on? It's Sports Chat with T. Wash. Who's calling?
This is Jay.
What's going on, Jay? How you doing, man?
How you doing? Hey, man, who do you think has the best chance to make it to the Super Bowl in your eyes? Is it Philadelphia or is it Minnesota?
Well, Jay, in my eyes, I'm going to go with Minnesota just because of the simple fact Carson Wentz got hurt. If Carson Wentz would have got hurt, I would have went with the Eagles because they're a more potent offense than the Vikings. Now, their defenses, I would have to give the advantage to the Vikings. Their defense is a killer. I mean, they got a good secondary and they got a good front seven. I mean, and it's crazy because of the quarterbacks right now, this quarterback of each team. You got Case Keenum, a journeyman, and you got Nick Foles, a journeyman. As of right now, I'll take Case Keenum because, like I said, for one, they're playing in Minnesota. They would play – well, if Nick Foles, you know, able to win his games, then Minnesota have to travel to Philadelphia. But I guess when it comes down to it, in a playoff situation, man, it's a toss-up. But I guess I'll go with Case Keenum over Nick Foles. I mean, Nick Foles, his last few games of the season wasn't too great. And Case Keenum kind of finished his season on a high note. So I guess I would pick Minnesota, man.
I think it comes down to who has the best defense. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Nick Foles has some years, you know, a little longer than Keenum does. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's going to come down to defense totally. And I think Minnesota tops that. I think Minnesota's defense is a little bit better than Philadelphia's right now. And as far as quarterback play, I think it's going to be a toss-up, but I think it's going to come down to who has the better defense.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you, man. I think that the Viking defense is just a little bit better than Philadelphia. I mean, Philadelphia has a good defense too, man, with Malcolm Jenkins and Fletcher Cox and those boys flying around. You know, but Minnesota, I mean, like I said, they secondary. I mean, you got Harrison Smith, you got Xavier Rhodes. I mean, their defenses are kind of a toss-up. Both defenses are two of the top defenses in the league. So, yeah, it probably would be a defensive game, but I guess offensively I would get advantage to the Eagles because they have more weapons on offense. You know, with the running backs, they got Jay Ajayi, they got LeGarrette Blount, and their receiver, they got Alshon Jeffrey, you know, the former Bear. They got Torrey Smith, you know, to catch the deep ball. And really, offensively, the Vikings, they got Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. Oh, they got Kyle Rudolph at tight end. But I guess the Eagles' offense is more explosive, but it just depends on if Nick Foles can deliver them the ball without turning it over.
Do you really think that Bill Belichick is really going to leave Robert Kraft?
I truly do, Jay. I mean, the way word is coming out of Boston, and like I said, this stuff been on the low. Now it's public. You know, I believe that Belichick feel like Kraft chose the quarterback over the coach. Because you know how Belichick is. When you start getting older, Belichick going to get you out of there. It don't matter who it is. And think about it. They could have traded Jimmy Garoppolo this past summer and got a boatload for him. It was a reason why Belichick kept holding them and holding them and holding them. He liked Jimmy. I mean, if you listen to his press conference, you know, when they made the trade, how he, like, praised Jimmy and, I mean, just said all kinds of glowing comments. You could clearly see he had a likeness for him, man. He didn't want to lose him. And I agree with him. Like I said, I'm the biggest Patriot fan probably in Indianapolis. But I call it like I see it. I mean, hey, Tom Brady did the same thing to my boy Bledsoe. You know, Belichick did it to Bledsoe, brought Tom Brady in. You know, Bledsoe's getting up there. I mean, why not bring in Jimmy? Jimmy has shown that he can play at this level. And then, like I said, he's mobile, he's young, he can throw the ball. And you know Jimmy Garoppolo kind of remind me of, if you watch him, he remind me of Aaron Rodgers. Look at Aaron Rodgers and look at how Jimmy Garoppolo plays. He can throw the ball on the run. He's creative. He's smart in the pocket. I truly believe that Belichick wanted to keep him. And I think because of all this stuff that's going on, and mainly because now it's public, I think that Belichick might be leaving, man.
And you really think that Robert Kraft, I mean, not Robert Kraft, but do you really think Tom Brady is Robert Kraft's golden child, that he would do that to his own club?
Yep. Yes, I do. I mean, Robert Kraft and Tom Brady have a father-son relationship. If you ever listen to them talk about each other, dude, they got a father-son relationship. Brady basically override what Bill, you know, what Bill had planned and went straight to Kraft. And the word is that he went to Kraft and basically told Kraft that he feel like he could play till he's 45 and he want to stay. And that's basically all Kraft needed, because Kraft said he wants Tom Brady to retire as a Patriot. He don't want him retiring anywhere else. So he chose the quarterback over the coach. And that's kind of why I think that this might be the last run. So that's why I said all the Patriot haters might be able to rejoice now.
Are you saying Tom Brady got the Super Bowls for Robert Kraft, or did the coach get the Super Bowl for Robert Kraft?
No, I say it was equal. It's both of them. You know, Tom Brady had to make the plays. Bill Belichick had to orchestrate it all. So, no, it was even split. And that's another reason why I think that he wanted to have Jimmy, because word is he said to all his friends that he believed he can win with Jimmy. I mean, you know how it is, man. He got egos. Belichick has an ego. That's one of the things I really don't like about him. He's kind of arrogant. Tom Brady has an ego. And I believe Belichick, he wanted to see, prove that he can win with Jimmy Garoppolo, which I think he could have.
I know he can. I know he could have. But time will tell. Now he's under a good quarterback coach over there in San Francisco. You think he has a chance to win a Super Bowl there?
Well, Jay, it depends on what they put around him. I mean, right now, he has Marquise Goodwin, and he used to play at Buffalo. He showed out them five games for Jimmy, man. He has Marquise Goodwin as a decent receiver. He has Selleck, little brother, Garrett Selleck, who's a decent tight end. And then there's this other tight end that got a funny name that was making plays for him. So I think if they, you know, get another top flight receiver to put in that offense with Jimmy, you already got Carlos Hyde at the running back, so you sold up at the running back spot. And their defense wasn't bad. It's like when Jimmy got in and played those five games, it's like he sparked the whole team. Their defense started playing better. I mean, look what he did to Jacksonville. Jacksonville has the best defense in the league, and they put up 44 points on them. Jimmy G averaged 300 yards a game passing for the five games he started and went 5-0. I mean, that's a hell of a way to end the season. So I can't sit here and say that they'll win the Super Bowl, but if they put talent around him, I definitely think that he's good enough to challenge for the NFC West title next year, because, what, you'll have the Rams. Seattle's starting to go down. They're getting older, and Russell Wilson has no help. Arizona Cardinals not the same no more. So basically, that might be a two-team division, San Francisco and the Rams.
Are you saying possibly that the coach, Belichick, will be gone before season start of next year, of this year?
Yeah, I kind of believe he. I kind of believe he will be gone.
And if so,
I kind of believe he will be gone.
You said what?
I think he. Hey, he may go to the New York Giants. Think about it. He won a Super Bowl there with Bill Parcells. I'm pretty sure the mayors would give him power to be, you know, be GM and coach. So why not go back to the Giants? You won a Super Bowl there.
Do you see him starting a new regime in Cleveland at all, like they saying about Gruden in Oakland, giving him
man.
Ownership?
He's not going to Cleveland, man. He left Cleveland on a bad note. He's not going to Cleveland. If anything, I think it would be the Giants. Like I said, he has a history there, a pretty good history. He won the Super Bowl there. And like I said, I'm pretty sure the Mars would give him power where he could be GM and coach, the same type of power he has in Foxborough right now. But
Where you say he left Cleveland on a bad note, didn't LeBron?
Yeah, that's true, but I don't see it, man. Cleveland, I don't think so. I don't think he want to revisit that again. At least I wouldn't want to revisit that.
Well, they have a chance. Do you think Cleveland is going to select another quarterback or just stay with who they drafted last year?
DeShone Kizer? No. He had a horrible year. I think they're going to select another quarterback. But the thing is, I don't really care for these quarterbacks in the draft. Only quarterback I like, I'm hoping that the Patriots get, is Baker Mayfield. I like him. I don't like Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold. To me, they don't show me much, especially Darnold. Darnold, you know, he had a lot of turnovers. The last bowl game he played in, he played horrible. When they got blew out by Ohio State. Josh Rosen. Go ahead.
What about the kid from Wyoming?
Oh, Allen. Yeah. He looked like he's pretty good. I haven't seen much on him, so I really can't judge him. But the few highlights I did see, it seems like he's pretty good. He might be one of those sleepers like Carson Wentz. You know, Carson Wentz went to North Dakota State. He might be like
that. And they have a pretty good quarterback like Carson Wentz there right now.
In North Dakota State?
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, I didn't know that.
He's doing the same things Carson Wentz did.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But, it's not that many quarterbacks in this draft, but I don't know. If I was Cleveland, I guess I would. They may not want to take Baker Mayfield because Baker Mayfield might remind them of Johnny Manziel. You know, Baker Mayfield is kind of flamboyant and do crazy stuff off the field. So I don't know. I think they might take Josh Rosen, even though he already came out and said he don't want to be drafted by them.
Do you see the receiver for Cleveland leaving anytime soon?
Josh Gordon?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on if I don't know if he's a free agent or I think he's still under contract. So it'll be up to Cleveland to trade him. I think that they'll be able to get something for him, you know, but the thing about Josh Gordon is that he's a pothead, you know. Can he leave the pot, you know, the weed alone and focus on football? I mean, because the talent's there. That dude has Hall of Fame ability. I mean, I'll never forget the game when Cleveland went up to Foxborough about 3 years ago, and he had like 200-some yards receiving, man. He couldn't be stopped.
I really do think he may be the best receiver in the game, even over Julio Jones. What do you say about that? I mean, just look at the games he's played in since coming back.
No, he only came back for like three games, and he really didn't do much. He had one touchdown in three games, so I can't really say. Now, if you're going back to when he was playing on the regular, he was definitely up there with Julio, but no, I can't put him above Julio. I can't put him above Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is the best receiver in the league to me.
I mean, but look who they have thrown to them. Look at his body of work since returning, and look who he has thrown to him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Josh Gordon, he only came back for three games this season. His body of work this year is not much. He only had one touchdown.
He only has one touchdown, but look at the yardage and catches that he's had. And he's been, I think he's been in the top 5 to 10 in the 3 weeks that since his return. I mean, look who his quarterback is and look who their quarterback and their respective teams are, as opposed to look who he's also playing for.
Yeah, but I need to see more. I can't just, especially after being off for like a year and a half, almost 2 years he's been off, I can't just vault him above Antonio Brown or Julio Jones off of three games. I can't do that. Now, he need to give me a whole season before I could make that type of judgment.
Well, I don't see any receivers coming out of the draft too much besides Ridley. I from Alabama, I haven't looked at too many TCU games to justify if this other receiver is better. Who would you go after if you were Chicago? Which receiver? Would you draft one of those, or would you just wait to see who's going to come up in free agency?
In the Bears' predicament, well, first they need to get a coach. They need to get a coach, and then you know, that coach come in and implement his plan. And then I think they need to do both: explore free agency and draft. Why not? If you could draft Cameron Ridley, they should be able to because they have a high draft pick. I would draft Cameron Ridley. He's good. He's a top receiver in college.
What do you know about the TCU receiver?
Not much. I heard that he has good hands, and he's kind of, you know, he has good size. I really haven't seen too many TCU games.
Right. I do understand. Well, you know what? I just got one more question for you. If you were Chicago, do you see a good-looking coach out there that's on the market? They go to Chicago.
I think Jack Del Rio might be a decent coach for them.
Oh,
I think somebody like a Jack Del Rio. You don't think so?
No,
he's tough. I mean, he'll bring some toughness and fire to him. I mean, you got Jim Caldwell out there, but he's too, you know, mild-mannered. You know, the Bears need somebody that's going to get in their butts, man. Somebody that's fiery.
Right.
And that's what I think, you know. They need that Mike Ditka clone, man. And I don't think it's none of those out there. It's like John Gruden would have been perfect for them.
Right. Well, I think that Mike Singletary should and would come back.
Man, he's been gone for a while, though. I wonder if he's still even in the game like that, you know?
I haven't heard, but, I mean, he did a fairly decent job when he was in San Francisco. I mean, his teams played, what I mean by fairly decent, his teams seemed like they wanted to play for him. You know what I'm saying? Even though he didn't get the success out of San Francisco that Jim Harbaugh did, I think his teams really played hard for him. Like Chicago played for, I think they played hard for John Fox. John Fox, he was just a moron the way he ran the game and the clock.
I completely agree with you, Jay. Yeah. And the thing, and you guys, you know, the Bears do need receivers because I mean, how many games they lost this year basically because somebody dropped the ball in the end zone? I mean, they should have beat the Falcons. The Bellamy dude dropped the ball in the end zone. Howard dropped the ball right there at the goal line. I mean, it's like Cameron Meredith was your best receiver, and when he went down, that was just it. I mean, I like what Tariq Cohen did, the rookie. He looked good, and he has promise. But, yeah, the Bears need another receiving core, man.
Well, I just heard that the Philadelphia Eagles just signed a pretty good receiver from Chicago. Well, he's not from – he played with Chicago, Marquise Wilson. You know what I'm saying? And I don't see how Chicago even dropped him and kept Bellamy. I just don't understand how and why. I think that Kevin White, they should put him in the paper shredder.
Yeah, he has to be the biggest bust I've ever seen in my life. I mean, to go from being an All-American at West Virginia, you know, to coming in with expectations on you. I understand his rookie year. You had Brandon Marshall there. You know, you're not going to do much. But when Brandon Marshall left, I mean, it was your turn. And the guy, he's like, you know, he's like fiberglass, man. He just breaks.
I wouldn't even say fiberglass. I would say crystal. I mean, real thin crystal. If you bump into the table, he's definitely going to fall off and break. You know what I'm saying? He's too brittle, you know. And I just don't understand why Chicago is keeping him to this point. You know what I'm saying? I think that Kyle Long, they putting too much into him. He's always broke, you know. I just don't understand it. But, you know, it's Chicago. I don't understand. They're going to have a care. They've had a carousel. Hopefully it stopped with their quarterback situation. But now they are going to have a carousel at wide receiver. And I just don't see it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they pretty much said it running back with Cohen and Howard. Trubisky, you know, hopefully he'll have a jump next year. You know, he wasn't bad. I mean, he was a lot better than Glennon. You know, I'll take him over Glennon, but he needs to, you know, step his game up at OTAs and training camp and, you know, raise his game up to the next level next year. Hopefully he can do that because, you know, he's athletic and he has a pretty good arm. He just got to put it all together. But, you know, they need to build around them. Like you said, they need to fix that wide receiver spot. And I don't know how I don't know how strong you are at tight end. I mean, you had Deion Sims, you know, then your other guy, he tore his leg up and he's probably done forever.
Well, they drafted a guy from a small college, a baby Gronk, you know, and he's on the learning curve. I think I would have played him along a lot more this year, you know, besides Deion Sims, because Deion Sims, he hasn't really shown me anything. You know what I'm saying? He's dropped some balls also. And to me, I think they need to go out and find a veteran receiver, a strong veteran receiver, and then possibly draft two.
Yeah. I think that would definitely improve the team because that's definitely a glaring spot, is that wide receiver, you know, slot. That's glaring. They need help at that spot. Now your defense, you guys still have Fuller, don't you?
Yeah, we still have Fuller. But the other side, I mean, that's like wires hanging out the wall. They can spark a fire at any time. I think that they need to draft also or go and find another shutdown corner because Fuller, he came of age, I think. You know, he's done a lot better this year. Maybe it's because of his contract. You know, you never can tell. But the other side definitely needs help, for sure. And I hope that they could get Fitzpatrick out the draft from Alabama. You know what I'm saying? Or
yeah,
shut
he's
down
one
corner.
Of the top corners.
I think he could play anywhere in your defense as far as defensive back.
Yeah, I agree. He's definitely one of the top defensive players in the that's going to be in the draft. You know, but once again, the Bears have a top pick, so it's just a matter of how they're going to use it.
I really do think that they should go with receiver first. If they don't go out and get a veteran, good, strong receiver in as far as free agency, I think that they should go receiver. Other than that, defensively, I go Fitzpatrick. Nothing helps a football team more than defense. I mean, look at Jacksonville, man. Blake Bortles, the defense played so good, I think it lit a fire under Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles, he played like his arm was a can opener. Now he playing like it's a, you know.
Yeah, I agree. But, and the thing about Blake Bortles, I still really don't trust him. You know, now that defense is good. That defense could travel. But Blake Bortles in the playoff situation when the lights are on and, you know, what is he going to do? I mean, I know all he has to do is manage the game and Jacksonville has a good chance of advancing, you know, far. But if he turns to Blake Bortles that throws stupid interceptions and things like that, it don't matter how good that defense is because they're going to be getting picked in situations where the other team can score because they had good field position.
They should give Blake Bortles to Cleveland, and Cleveland should just go to football purgatory. I mean, that's just the way. I mean, you have some players that just won't make it. You know what I'm saying? In the NFL, I think that Blake Bortles, he's still in the NFL because he was drafted number one. That's the only reason why I think he's still in the NFL. And he didn't help out his cause, I think, maybe for another half a year, depending on how he does in these playoffs, which I think, you know, hopefully they do well. I really do want Blake Bortles to do well because he was drafted number one. I hate to see a number one draft pick or a high draft pick quarterback go down the drain like it's, you know, regurgitation of food back down the straw. I hate that. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, and that's what most, I mean, if you look at the quarterbacks now that's coming out of college, yeah, you got Baker Mayfield, you know, he's playing pretty good. You know, hopefully he comes to the NFL and doesn't fizzle out like Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
I think that's what's happened to him. You know what I'm saying? Really and true, I hope not. But that's what's happened with these quarterbacks coming out of college. You know what I'm saying? Look at the Rams. Look how long it took for him to develop. You know, now he's feeling pretty good about himself. You know,
yeah, I agree.
I mean, players coming out of college nowadays, they're just not football players, and I think that has to do a lot with the college game, you know what I'm saying, with making these players, hybrid players. Everything is hybrid.
Yeah, that's the way of the NFL game nowadays, though. Nobody's set in one position.
Right, right. You know, I mean, look at Chicago, how they're using, you know, the little guy, you know.
Tariq Cohen.
Hopefully one of these big guys don't knock him into the goalpost and he broke forever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like Johnny Knox, huh?
Right, right. exactly like Johnny Knox. I mean, he has good energy, you know, maybe a little bit too much. He could have John Fox, I'm glad he's gone because they should have reined him in a little bit. You know, some of his turnovers could have been talked about more. I know he was a rookie, you know what I'm saying, but his turnovers were just, some of them were just killers. He was doing a little bit too much, and John Fox would just sit there stone-faced like he didn't know how to rein his player in, like he was just an artard.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Yeah.
But hopefully Pace, you know, hopefully Pace, I don't see a coach out here right now that I like for Chicago. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't.
Yeah.
I really don't see a coach out here that would pull my heartstrings, you know, to Chicago, because I know good well that Belichick, I don't see that marriage right there. Belichick and Gruden are the last good coaches that, you know, that I could see. They are the star players right now. They are the 1-2 draft picks of the coaching draft right now. Other than that, I don't see one.
Yeah.
And I don't see either of those going to Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you have to offer John Gruden a piece of your team, you really have to be thirsty. I mean, you say Jack Del Rio, he's in Oakland right now.
No, he was.
So if he's not working out in Oakland, why the hell would Chicago pick him up? I mean, you know, you have a good team. You have pretty good defensive players on defense. You have a pretty good receiving core and quarterback and also running back.
Well,
you know,
the Raiders defense wasn't good, man. You just had Khalil Mack and Irvin. That's really it. Their secondary is garbage. Raiders, that's one thing Gruden gonna have to fix is their defense.
I mean, but as far as I'm concerned, the Oakland just regressed instead of progress within a year's time. And that's with the addition of Marshawn Lynch. You know what I'm saying? That move right there was supposed to get them over the hump, because last year, their defense played pretty good. The whole team just took a nosedive. And it was Jack Del Rio's, I think it was his fault. He got too high up on the horse.
Yeah. Marshawn Lynch really didn't, in my opinion, he had a disappointing season. He didn't run as hard as he used to, and that tells me that he's pretty much done. I mean, think about it. The guy took like a year off. Marshawn Lynch didn't run like he was in football shape.
Right, right. And I think that was because I think him being literally at home, you know how you get comfortable once you get home in your own home after work? I mean, he worked everywhere he played. Now he's at home. He's coming home from work, and he just got too comfortable. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I feel about Marshawn Lynch right now. He's come home, and now he's comfortable. I mean, look how he's dancing around and throwing his hair around. I mean, he actually got into he verbally got into trouble in the NFL before he got to Oakland. Now that he's gotten in Oakland, he's physically getting in trouble, and I see that as a problem.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, Jay, man, it was good talking to you, man. I do this show on Fridays from 6:30 to 8:00. And that would be 5:30 to 7:00 your time. Feel free to call me, man. I like how, you know, we got off into the Bears and things like that. So whenever you want to talk sports, you know where to reach me, buddy.
All right. It was nice talking to you.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right.
All right, that was Jay. We had a nice long conversation. He's a Chicago Bears fan, so we had to get off into the Bears. But, you know, when I started the show, I just wanted to, you know, talk about that drama that's going on in Foxborough. You know, I just wanted to touch up on it. So now let me get into what I really want to talk about. First thing I want to talk about, we're going to go into some college basketball. I mean, this kid, I'm pretty good at knowing high school kids and, you know, knowing what type of talent they are and seeing them and things like that. But this kid was under the radar, man. I never even heard of this kid until this, you know, college basketball season started. And this kid is the top freshman in the nation. His name is Trey Young, 6'2 point guard from Norman, Oklahoma. And he plays ball at the University of Oklahoma. Man, this dude, I mean, it's ridiculous. He's leading the nation in scoring at 29.4 points per game, 3.9 rebounds. And the dude also leads the nation with 10.6 assists a game. I mean, if you look at this dude, you would think that he's a Steph Curry clone. I mean, he don't look like him. He high yellow, you know, like Steph Curry. But the dude got unlimited range. He got a good bounce with the ball. He got handles. He could take it to the basket. And he's a hell of a passer. I mean, this dude, like I said, I never even heard of this dude. The way this dude playing, he should have been a top high school player. But he was actually ranked 23rd in his class last year. He was 23rd in his high school class. But this dude, as of right now, is the number 3 draft prospect. I get all my information from NBADraft.net as far as draft picks, you know, with the upcoming drafts. They have him slated at number 3 going to the Orlando Magic. I mean, this dude, I watched Sports and they did a side-by-side comparison of him and Steph Curry as freshmen. I mean, dude, game is so true. They asked Steph Curry about him. Steph Curry commenting on him, telling him how he likes his game and how he got range and how he plays with passion and fire. I mean, this little dude, like I said, he can shoot from anywhere. He come past half court, just like Steph Curry is going up. It's almost like he modeled his game after Steph Curry. I mean, because he plays just like him. It's amazing. But anyway, like I was saying, they compared him as freshmen. Steph Curry averaged 21 points a game as a freshman and, what, 7 assists. And like I said, this dude is averaging 30, averaging 29 points a game and almost 11 assists. And he's leading the nation in both categories. So I just want to advise you, if you want to see the best point guard in the country that happens to be a freshman, make sure you check out some University of Oklahoma games. I mean, like I said, this boy is the truth. His name is Trey Young, so keep an eye on him. All right, well, you guys want to call in? Like I say, I touch base on what's happening in Foxborough, New England right now. I just talked about Trey Young, top freshman in the country. Or if you got any type of sports topics you want to throw out to me that we could discuss, hit me up at 1-347-855-8034. That's 1-347-855-8034. I'll see you on the next end.
You said that Le'Veon's the best all-around back in football, right?
I didn't lie.
Yeah, bro. Well,
see,
well.
Le'Veon Bell is one of these unique guys. There's nothing he can't do. He's so patient. I'm yelling at the TV. Hit the hole, Le'Veon! And he's just like, he got the ball. I think I'm going to go to the right.
But you don't see that, though, huh?
Yeah,
Trent Bayless, I've been hearing you lately. You love Jerry way too much, you acting like y'all related. I got the Hall of Fame waiting. I'm the best and you hate it. I don't know why you hate it. I don't know why you hate me. Probably because my name is mentioned close with some of the greatest. Then they talk about patience, you close to testing my patience. You say whatever for ratings. I'm not blind, I can see it. You say I'm just an average running back, no way you believe it. You talking down for no reason. Talking down for no reason. Cause you know my number's crazy when I'm done with this season. Sometimes I hate that you breathing. Think you sick as a germ. You keep on talking all that nonsense. I'ma call Richard Sherm. Yeah, I might.
Steph, I'm not missing. I told you I'm on a mission, and the shrimp didn't listen. Undisputed was temping, but I couldn't get with it. You wanna talk for attention? Well, look, here's your attention. Yeah.
He is the most extreme patient runner that I've ever seen.
Yeah. They wanna hate on me, but I don't get it. People mad at me cause I ball and I'm out here spitting. People know that I got the flow, they don't know what to do. Not a clue, like the DJ, so I'm on the ones and twos. Yeah, this is all perfect timing, and I'm known to tote the rock, and I don't mean Dwayne Johnson. They upset cause the money on my conscience. You don't think that I'm the best, and stay away with all that nonsense.
He calls himself Juice, that's his rapper name, and he's recorded such hits as Rapping Athlete, On a Mission, 2 a.m. That's a dangerous title of the song.
All right. I'm back in the house. That was Pro Bowl running back Le'Veon Bell. His diss track at Skip Bayless is called Shrimp Bayless. So I just thought I'd play that for you guys. Let you guys know some of these athletes actually have skills on the mic. So I want to get off into the college football playoff that we witnessed over last weekend. The first game was good. You had Georgia beating Oklahoma 54-48 in overtime. I mean, Georgia's quarterback was a freshman, Jake Fromm. He had 210 yards passing and two touchdowns. And Oklahoma was led by Heisman Trophy winner, you know, the quarterback I hope that the Patriots could draft to replace Jimmy Garoppolo, because you know, Belichick was forced to trade Jimmy Garoppolo away because of Tom Brady being a baby and crying about it to Bob Kraft. So I'm hoping that the Patriots somehow, some way draft Baker Mayfield and groom him, you know, to be the next Patriot quarterback. I like his game. I like his fiery, you know, his fieriness. He's fiery, and only thing is, you know, he just got to tone it down a little bit, but Zoo has game. You know, only thing is he's kind of short. That's his only weakness, really. But he had a good game. He had 287 yards with two touchdowns. He had one pick. Now, this game was a game of two halves, man. I mean, the first half was all Oklahoma. I mean, their running back, Rodney Anderson, he had 201 yards, 26 carries, and two touchdowns. And most of his damage was in the first half. I mean, Oklahoma looked like world beaters in that first half. It's like Georgia, it's almost like they didn't come to play. I mean, I don't know what Kirby Smart said to them at halftime, but whatever he said, they came out with a fire. And, I mean, they have a two-headed monster at running back. I mean, they literally ran themselves back in the game in the second half. And then their defense started tightening up on Oklahoma. I mean, it was so ridiculous for Oklahoma, even in the first half. You know, Baker Mayfield caught a touchdown on the trick play. You know, that's how absurd it was, you know, that they was beating on Georgia. But like I said, that second half was a different story, man. It's a different ball game. I mean, you had Sonny Michel. This dude had 11 carries for 181 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, that's ridiculous. And then, you know, you had my man Nick Chubb, who had 14 carries for 145 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, both their running backs had five touchdowns in that game, five rushing touchdowns. And like I said, that defense, that Georgia defense, tightened up on Oklahoma, and Oklahoma couldn't get any touchdowns in the overtime. And what ended up costing them is that the Georgia player ended up blocking a field goal, and that was all she wrote. They blocked that field goal. Georgia came down and gave it to Sonny Michel, and he ran like a 40-yard touchdown, and that was ball game. And now the Bulldogs heading to Atlanta. You know, they're basically going to have home field advantage for the big game Monday night at the Mercedes-Benz Dome. And they're going to be awaiting Alabama, who was in a snooze fest of a game. I mean, that game was horrible, man. I was really disappointed in Clemson. I thought Clemson would put up a better fight than they did. I mean, I actually picked Clemson to win. because Kelly Bryant kind of reminded me of Deshaun Watson last year. But that Alabama defense, man, they tightened up and locked him down. I mean, this dude only had 124 passing yards with no touchdowns and two picks. And he rushed the ball 19 times for 19 yards. So, dude literally averaged 1 yard a carry. I mean, and that's that Alabama defense, man. That's Nick Saban. You know, that's what that Alabama team is known for. They're going to win most of their games defensively. I mean, their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, he didn't have to do much. He had a pedestrian performance. 120 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. He had 40 rush yards to go along with it. I mean, but he really didn't, you know, do much. Like I said, it was all Alabama defense, and they destroyed Clemson 24-6. I mean, no game whatsoever. So we got to look forward to that Monday night. Georgia's going to basically have the home field advantage. They're playing in Atlanta. So I'm pretty sure all those people from Athens, Georgia, are going to be traveling up to Atlanta to support their Bulldogs. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be people driving from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to get there too, because it's right next door. But I guess I kind of want to get an edge to Georgia because they have that two-headed monster running back, and I'm just wondering if Alabama defense will be able to shut both of them down. They may be able to shut one of them down, but can they do it to both? And I guess another key thing is with that freshman quarterback for Georgia, Fromm, will the bright lights get to him? And that Alabama pass rush, will they get to him and just rattle him? Because if they could, you know, if Alabama could force him to throw the ball, then I believe Alabama's going to be, you know, win the national championship. But I'm going to go for Georgia. Like I said, I'm rooting for Georgia. I got Georgia because of those two running backs. I mean, they're beasts, man. It's going to be interesting, you know, interesting chess match to see if that Alabama defense could shut one or either both of them down. And like I said, if they could get to that quarterback, man, it probably won't even matter. Alabama will rout them. So, you know, that's basically the national championship game and, you know, how that's going to go. Like I said, I got Georgia. It's something to look forward to. And like I said, you know, if you guys want to talk, you know, about the college football playoff, about those two games, you can hit me up, 1-347-855-8034. If you want to talk about, you know, NBA, any type of sports topics that you may, you know, have an interest in talking about, if you got any questions about anything pertaining to sports, throw it out there and we can discuss it. You just got to hit me up, 1-347-855-8034. I'm going to take another break, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk about this weekend's activities. But I'm going to let you guys hear another athlete on the mic, and this is my boy Damian Lillard, Dame Dollar, one of the best point guards in the Western Conference.
Sometimes your boy misunderstood, Same Dollar, They peep the way I'm wired, it ain't quite what they accustomed to. Come for what I earn, and I won't accept a substitute. So persistent with it, I'm a little bugaboo. Never let nobody pick and choose when they loving you. Play the cracks by habit, that's the position that I didn't master. Exercise my mind, if they got questions, I got answers. Stand and scrape the sky, cause my antenna's up like antlers. Drive my nuts like an OG, got hair on them, surrestless. I'm really from the streets, but I don't look the part. Pressure on me, feel the heat, I don't take it to the heart. I be showing love for free, by design, this is art. High or low, I keep it G, been that way from the start. I hang around older cats to stimulate my mental. 5 years in the league, to say the least, and been eventful. Greatest teams assembled, that ain't really what I'm into. They know so much about me, yet I'm still so suspenseful. I don't think I'm Nate Speed, hate the way I speak my mind. Toes down, both feet, I'm 4x25. I don't see what they see, how the blind lead the blind. Boy, I'm like a safety, sitting way beyond the line. I don't think I'm Nate Speed, hate the way I speak my mind. Toes down, both feet, I'm 4x25. I don't see what they see, how the blind lead the blind. Boy, I'm like a safety, sitting way beyond the line.
crucial like the club on Bankhead. Riding with the toaster cuz they didn't want to break bread. I heard you tried out last year and got cut. Work hard off season, come back next year and start. Yeah. No bluffing, all you talking is nothing. Falling out with no budget. Do this verse without cursing. She rather diamonds than purses. Anyone working this mediocre, we want more. 24/7 so you can see what is in store. Today was a good day. It came out with new things. I came out to shoot J's. A shoot out in broad day. Yeah, report live from the black top. I've been hustling since Will Smith powder flat top. I'ma throw an alley off the glass like it's crack rock.
You know what that music mean? That mean it's NFL wild card weekend time. This is like my favorite time of year. I'm pretty sure this is mostly everybody in America's favorite time of year, and that's the NFL playoffs. So now we're about to get into this wild card weekend. Let's talk about the first batch of games. On Saturday, tomorrow, NFL playoffs is here. Okay, you got the Titans against the Chiefs. Titans are visiting the Chiefs. Can Marcus Mariota shine in the big lights? You know, this is a different ball game. This is not the University of Oregon. This is NFL playoffs, and this is one of the toughest stadiums to play in the NFL. Is him and Delanie Walker going to be able to have a connection? Is, you know, the injury to DeMarco Murray is going to hurt. You know, now they got to depend on the big Alabama running back. I can't remember his name to save my life, but he's starting now instead of DeMarco Murray. So is he going to be able to produce? And then their wide receiver core, I mean, you got Eric Decker and you got the rookie that they picked out of Eastern Michigan, Corey Davis, you know, who really hasn't done much this whole season because he's hurt. But I don't know, just by seeing the Titans, I don't think they have enough firepower to go into Arrowhead and win. I mean, Alex Smith, of course, steady quarterback, you know, doesn't turn the ball over much. He has that rookie running back behind him, you know, Akeem Hunt, who in my book should be rookie of the year, even though he fell off a little bit towards the end of the season. But beginning of the season, in the middle, I mean, he was basically rookie of the year. And then they got Gronk 2.0 and Travis Kelce. You know, he makes plays down the field. And then they got, you know, they got a couple other people who can make some plays. I don't know. Just right now, I would go with the Chiefs. I just don't think that Marcus Mariota going to have enough to deal with that Kansas City defense. I don't think he's going to be able to deal with the pressure, you know, that's going to be coming at him. I mean, he can move around. That's a good thing. Mariota's mobile, so he'll be able to move and get out of trouble a little bit. But with them being, you know, in the playoffs for the first time in years, I don't see them going to Arrowhead and doing it. So I'll take the Chiefs. And for the second game, it's going to be a good game. You got the Falcons visiting the Rams. You know, the Falcons, to me, they haven't been the same since they lost that 25-point lead in the Super Bowl to my Patriots. They haven't been the same. And, you know, they kind of on a redemption tour. You know, they got in the playoffs. They kind of struggled to get in the playoffs, but they got in. So now here's their shot. You know, if they get back to the Super Bowl, they're going to have to strictly do it on the road. And they're going to be starting off, like I said, with the Rams, another team that hasn't been in the playoffs in years. But Todd Gurley, you know, in my opinion, has to finish second in MVP voting behind Tom Brady. I mean, Todd Gurley, who was my lifesaver on my fantasy squad and helped me win the money league. Thank you, Todd Gurley. Jared Goff also helped me out. And, you know, Jared Goff is completely opposite from what he was when he was under Jeff Fisher. He was on his way to looking like a bust, but the young head coach, Sean McVay, he's really brought a lot out of Jared Goff. And Jared Goff, he can sling the ball. He has targets on the outside. You got the Buffalo connection. You got Sammy Watkins and the other cat from Buffalo. He used to play for Buffalo. I can't remember his name right now. And then you got the rookie Cooper Kupp, who makes plays also. So the Rams have a decent offense, man. I think they're like a top five offense in the league. And I mean, we may have a shootout because, you know, you're going to have Julio Jones on the other side. You got Mohamed Sanu on the other side. You got that two-handed monster running back with Devontae Freeman. And you got the other running back out of Indiana. I mean, we might be in for a shootout, but it all depends on that Ram defense, man. If Aaron Donald could push that pocket and generate some pressure, then the Rams might, you know, might have something. But other than that, right now, just, you know, on paper, it seemed like it's going to be a shootout. And I'm going to go with the Rams because they're the home team. And I think, God, you know, with Todd Gurley being able to catch the ball out of the backfield and run it, you know, that's going to make a big difference. So I would go with the Rams, you know, beating the Falcons. Then Sunday's games, you got the Buffalo Bills taking on the Jaguars down in Jacksonville. I mean, it's crazy. This playoffs, you got all these new teams this year. The Bills weren't in the playoffs last year. The Titans weren't in the playoffs last year. The Rams weren't in the playoffs last year. The Saints weren't in the playoffs last year. And you got a lot of teams that weren't in the playoffs last year, and now they're in. So it's kind of a cool thing, you know, to see some new blood in here. But the Jacksonville Jaguars, to me, the big question is Blake Bortles. And that Jacksonville defense is the best in the league. I mean, you got Malik Jackson. You got Calais Campbell, you know, those pass rushers. Then they secondary, man, those two corners. You got Boye and you got Jalen Ramsey. That Jacksonville defense is legit. And with the Bills, you know, Tyrod Taylor, he's mobile, so that'll help. But I don't think he's going to help much because – I mean, he had a bunch of unknowns at receivers. He got the Zay Jones kid who's a rookie. And, you know, it's all about LeSean McCoy. And McCoy got hurt the last game of the season. So we don't know how effective he's going to be tomorrow. I mean, well, Sunday. So I got to go with Jacksonville. I mean, like I said, unless Blake Bortles just reverts back to the Blake Bortles we all know and throw like three or four picks, I see Jacksonville winning this game fairly easy. And then another game of the day is going to be the Panthers visiting the Saints. You got Mr. Cam Newton against Drew Brees. I like that the Panthers have a decent running game. You know, Cam, he's going to run. And it's crazy because he's their top rusher on the team, the quarterback. I mean, I like what they do with Christian McCaffrey. They give him the ball a lot, but he's really not effective as a rusher. Not yet, but he could definitely catch the ball out of backfield and make plays. And like I said, they feed him the ball enough where he, you know, he's going to make something happen. And their receivers, you know, they got Devin Funches. They got rid of Kelvin Benjamin to Buffalo. You know, that's somebody else Tyrod Taylor got. I couldn't think of who else he had besides Zay Jones, but Tyrod Taylor also has Kelvin Benjamin, who's a tall receiver, and they got him from Carolina. So basically, Devin Funches is the guy as far as the receiver. He's a top receiver. And then you got Mr. Dependable Greg Olsen, who hasn't quite been himself since he came back off of the injury. Maybe he could get it together in the playoffs. But, I mean, I know there's just a lot of teams that have two-headed monsters at running backs in these playoffs. The Saints, you know, they got Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. And Alvin Kamara, that's who might win Rookie of the Year over Akeem Hunt. Because Alvin Kamara, I mean, he makes things happen. The guy can run and he can catch passes and make plays that way. And that's going to be a tough game. And it's crazy because New Orleans has a Mercedes-Benz Dome too, just like Atlanta. But New Orleans had theirs first. And that's an advantage, man. I can see Drew Brees slinging the ball. As long as he gets protection, he could sling the ball against that Panther secondary. The Panther strength is really their front seven. You know, their defensive line. And then you got Luke Kuechly, you know, as one of their linebackers, Pro Bowl linebacker. That's their strength. Their corners and their safeties, not so much. So Drew Brees can make plays on them with Michael Thomas and he has Kobe Fleener at the tight end. He can make plays. So I see the Saints winning that game. And, you know, basically that sets up the games for next week, the divisional rounds. And, you know, in the NFC, I see the Rams, you know, traveling to the Vikings for a rematch. The Vikings beat them in the regular season up in Minnesota. And like I said, that Viking defense is tough, man. The secondary and the front seven. And they kind of bottled up Todd Gurley. He really didn't get very much. So I think they can make plays happen, you know, make some trouble for the Rams. I mean, I'm not finna pick because I don't know, but I think it'd be a good game. You know, we have to see how it go. And then you'll have basically the Saints visiting Philly. Now, I don't have any faith in Nick Foles. It's kind of a shame that Carson Wentz got hurt because I truly believe that Carson Wentz would have probably got the Eagles the Super Bowl. They have a high power offense and their defense is good too. And Philadelphia is not an easy place to play. And I don't think the Saints, you know, the Saints really not a great road team. I think the Saints, you know, they have issues playing in Philadelphia. Now over on the AFC side, you have the Chiefs coming to Foxborough for the rematch. You know, nobody will forget that opening night game, especially if you're a Patriot fan, where they just dog walked them. I mean, Akeem Hunt, he fumbled his first carry and then came back and had the game of his life right after that. I mean, he was running all over them. It was nothing they can do, the Patriot defense could do against their offense. Alex Smith was throwing 70, 80-yard passes. I mean, since when do you see Alex Smith throw 70, 80-yard bombs to Tyreek Hill? I mean, that game was nuts. And as a Patriot fan, it ticked me off because it's like, really? You let Alex Smith look like an all-world player. And like I said, Alex Smith, he's the check-down king. He, you know, he throws, you know, short passes. He normally doesn't throw passes over 20 yards. But in that game in Foxborough, he's airing it out. And I would expect them to try to do the same thing again. The biggest difference is they won't have Eric Berry this time to guard Gronkowski. Eric Berry did a pretty decent job guarding Gronk in that game. And I don't think they have anybody in place that can guard Gronk this time around. So, you know, we will have to see how that game will go. But my money would be on the Patriots, you know, of course, because they're the team I root for. So I'm going to be real. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that they'll win for sure, especially with this turmoil and stuff going on. You know, is this turmoil that's going on in Foxborough, is it going to galvanize them as a team, or is it going to tear them apart as a team where, you know, they're just not even focused? They're more focused on what's going on, you know, up there as far as all this tumultuous stuff. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Then the other game, it'll be a rematch, man. It'll be the Jaguars traveling to Pittsburgh, where they destroyed them in Pittsburgh earlier this season. Ben Roethlisberger threw 5 picks, and 2 of them were for pick sixes. So Ben struggled against Jacksonville, so pretty sure he'll be looking for payback if this happens. He'll be looking for payback. I mean, even Blake Bortles played good in that game. It just didn't matter. That game, it wasn't Pittsburgh day. I mean, they couldn't function. They couldn't do anything. Guys, if you want to talk about any of this stuff, you want to talk about the NFL Wild Card Weekend, things that's happening this weekend, these games, you know, who do you think is going to win? Who do you think is going to come out this weekend unscathed? 1-347. 1-347-855-8034. 1-347-855-8034. Tell me what you think. Who do you think is going to win these games? You got the Titans or the Chiefs? You got the Falcons or the Rams? You got the Bills or the Jaguars? Or you got the Panthers and the Saints? Who's going to win these games? I told you what I thought. Now I'd like to hear from you. I say, I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing how it's going to all pan out. And see if, you know, the team I root for could get, in what, you know, in my opinion, what I think is going to be the last run. I think this is going to be the last run for the Patriots. Like I said, with all this stuff being public now, I mean, I always figured that Bill Belichick wanted to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, like I said, what was the reason for him not trading him when he could have got more for him? The reason was he wanted to keep Jimmy, and then each time Brady out of it. And like I said, I truly believe that this is going to be the last run. You know, if Tom Brady, you know, could guide them to another Super Bowl title this year, then Belichick was going to release him and start fresh with Jimmy Garoppolo next year. But Tom Brady felt threatened, and he went to Bob Kraft and made sure that he put a mandate on Bill Belichick to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. And like I said, you can see what Jimmy's doing in San Francisco. The guy finished the season 5-0. And that's a hell of a way to end your season and build confidence going into OTAs, off-season OTAs, and training camp next year. And like I was telling, I think Jimmy's, you know, if they can put some ton around him, then they're going to make a run next year. I believe they'll be good enough to challenge the Rams for the NFC West title. I truly believe that. We just need to see what kind of pieces they're going to put around Jimmy. And like I said, you already said it's running back. You got Carlos Hyde. Marquise Goodwin, who came over from Buffalo, he did a good job for Jimmy. It's like Jimmy trusted him the most. He was Jimmy's main guy. I mean, he was throwing the ball and all that, man. He's catching everything. Garrett Celek, he's making plays. I mean, there's just really, in my opinion, no reason to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't understand. I don't understand how you can get rid of Jimmy. They need to keep Jimmy. I would have let Brady go. I would have let Brady have his release, you know, out of respect. I mean, like I said, I recognize he's the GOAT. But like I said before, Brady's not the reason I became a Patriot fan in 93. Drew Bledsoe is the reason I'm a Patriot fan. So I could live with them letting Brady go. I mean, it's time, man. I mean, everything got to come to an end. And Jimmy would have gave them another 10 to 15 years, you know, of good play. Now it's up in the air. Tom Brady's one injury away from being done. Tom Brady get hit, get his leg taken out, then it's over. Brian Hoyer comes in, they're doomed. Whereas if Jimmy was to come in the game, Jimmy's good enough to get them far. And I truly believe that. So that's the thing that's going on with all this drama right now in Foxborough. It just happened to come out now. But like I said, I've been hearing this stuff that Belichick was talking to his friends and letting them know that he felt like he could win with Jimmy Garoppolo. And like I said, this is not in his history, man. He usually get rid of all the older players. He don't keep them around, you know. He send them on their way, man. And that's what he wanted to do to Brady. I mean, I know a lot of people feel like that might be disrespectful, but it's not. I mean, that's part of football, man. And like I said, as a Patriot fan, I'm going to be real with it. I appreciate everything Tom Brady did. He's the GOAT. But it was time, man. It was time to start anew. I mean, it happened with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. The Packers finally decided to do it. They got tired of Brett Favre holding them hostage. So they brought Aaron Rodgers in there. Let Brett go. Same thing with San Francisco 49ers. They got Joe Montana out of there. It was Steve Young's turn. And I feel like it should have been like that with it, that way with Jimmy. So, guys, if you want to talk about anything, you want to talk about the Patriots, talk about what's going on in Foxborough right now, you want to talk about the NCAA college football playoff, talk about that Georgia-Oklahoma game, talk about that Alabama-Clemson wipeout, which was not a game at all. It was horrible, 24-6. You want to talk about these games on Wild Card Weekend, who you think is going to win, who has the best chance to come out on top this weekend after the games, who has the best chance to challenge the division opponents that's waiting, who has the best chance to beat the Patriots, beat the Steelers, the Vikings, and the Eagles out of this bunch that's playing this weekend. Who has the best chance to win? I don't know. I kind of told you my opinion already, but I want to know what you guys think. get to my NBA rundown. We only had two games last night in the NBA. You had the Oklahoma City beating the LA Clippers 127-117. Carmelo, the Mellow Man, Anthony led the way. Well, he didn't lead the way, actually. He had 22 points on 9-12 shooting. Paul George led the way with 31, 12-16 shooting with 5 threes. Steven Adams did his usual, the dirty work. He had finished with 12 points, 9 boards. And then Mr. Westbrook led the way with a triple-double. 29 points, 11 assists, 12 boards. And then you had the Clippers. Mr. Blake Griffin who I never really been much of a fan of, but I got to admit, you know, he has improved his game from when he first came in. He was just a dunker. But he actually can, you know, shoot the mid-range shot now. He's a pretty decent free throw shooter. And he can also, like, drive the ball to the basket. He can also create his own shot. So I give Blake Griffin a lot of credit, but he had 24 points. He even made a couple threes. DeAndre Jordan had 26. But, you know, of course, all those was like two-pointers and field goals. He had 17 rebounds, too. That's really all. Then you had Lou Williams, Mr. Offense, 26 off the bench, four threes. And that's really about it as far as OKC and the Clippers. I don't know. I've never really been a Clipper guy. Even when Chris Paul was there, you know, it's like they just couldn't win, man. They had the talent, but when it came down to it, they just couldn't win. And the Thunder, you know, this big three, I don't know if it's going to work out. I still think Paul George is going to leave out the free agency and go to L.A., play with the youngsters. I mean, they're really going to have to make it far for Paul George to stay. At least that's what I believe. I mean, they're going to have to make it far. They're going to have to make it to the West Finals at least. And if they make it to the West Finals, I don't see them beating Golden State. I mean, truthfully, I don't see anybody beating Golden State in the West. I still believe San Antonio will probably be their best competition, not Houston, because I still don't have any faith in James Harden. James Harden or Chris Paul, they both the same type of player. It's like, what do they do when it matters most? It's like both of them just disappear. And speaking of the Rockets, that was the other game of the night. The Rockets and the Warriors. The Warriors traveled to Houston and played the Rockets. And James Harden didn't play. He's been out with a hamstring injury. And Kevin Durant set out, too. I don't know what type of injury he has, but he didn't play. So both of those guys didn't play. But Steph Curry did play. And Steph Curry was doing what Steph Curry does, man. This dude... It's funny, like I was talking about earlier with the Trae Young kid out of Oklahoma. I mean, he reminds me of Steph. I mean, Steph Curry just comes down and just shoots. It don't matter. It could be 30 feet away. It could be 35 feet away from the bucket. He's going to take the shot, and he's going to make it. But Draymond Green had a triple-double, 17 points, 14 boards, and 10 assists. Steph Curry, he had 29 points. He hit 4-10 from three-point range. Then Klay Thompson, he had 28 points, 6-9 for three. So they were shooting. Now, the big scorer for the Rockets was surprisingly Gerald Green, man. Gerald Green came off the bench and hit 29 points. He shot 8 of 15 from three-point range. So he's trying to make up for the loss of James Harden, but, you know, it's just not enough to beat Golden State. Eric Gordon finished with 30. He had an off-shooting night as far as the three-point shot. He only hit 2 of 9. Chris Paul had 28, and he hit half of his three-point shots, 5 of 10. So Golden State, they won 124-114. And like I said, I don't believe anybody's going to beat Golden State in the 7-game series. And that goes for LeBron and Isaiah Thomas and those guys in the East. I mean, they'll come out the East, and I still think Boston's going to challenge Cleveland for that Eastern spot, you know, in the finals. But in the 7-game series, you know, if Gordon Hayward was playing, I would seriously give Boston a chance to beat Cleveland. But since Gordon Hayward's not playing, Cleveland has more depth this time around than they've always had. And I think that they got so much depth, they'll beat Boston in the 7-game series. And then when they face Golden State in the finals, it's just not going to matter because, I mean, all in all, when it comes down to who's going to guard Kevin Durant, who's going to guard Steph Curry, who's going to guard Klay Thompson, who's going to stop Draymond Green from doing what he do, you know, being that Swiss Army knife, getting boards, dishing out assists, playing physical, doing the dirty work. Who's going to stop that? And then you got old man Andre Iguodala coming off the bench doing what he doing. playing good defense on LeBron James, also scoring the ball. You know, Golden State just has too much. Then the addition of Nick Young, Mr. Swaggy P, who going to come in and hit some threes for you. I mean, it's like Golden State's just a complete team. And when it's all said and done, I see them raising the banner again as NBA champs. Now, on this day in sports, Friday, January 5th, 1957, Jackie Robinson announced his retirement from the LA from the Dodgers rather than be traded to the New York Giants. So he didn't want to go anywhere. He's like, look, man, if you're going to trade me, I'll just retire a Dodger. And that's what he did on this date, 1957. And that's going to be the end of the show for the day. Another edition of Sports Chat with T-Wash. I want to thank Jay for calling. And hopefully I'll get more calls next Friday. We could talk some sports. Remember, this is the type of show where you don't just have to go on the topics I throw out. You can also throw topics out my way and we could discuss them. You know, if you want to talk about MMA, we could do that. You want to talk about the NBA, we could do that. You want to talk about Major League Baseball, we could do that. You want to talk about NCAA basketball that's going on right now. Go Bears. We can do that. Of course, football. Like I said, this is the best time now. We're in the playoff stage. Wild card weekend starts tomorrow. We can talk about those results next Friday. Or if you want to talk boxing, we can do that. It really doesn't matter. This is like a sports show where you have free reign to call in to talk about what you want to talk about. And, you know, like I said, my number is 1-347-855-8034. Just make sure you remember that for next Friday. So now I'm going to end the show the way I always end the show. And that's what my little statement I created. And that's basically that sports is basically the fabric of society. Whether it's football, baseball, basketball, soccer, and hockey, we all as humans have a strong passion for the games and what they represent. Now ask yourself, can you imagine life without it? Once again, I want to thank Jay for calling. We had a nice long conversation about his Chicago Bears, which was cool. You know, we got all in depth about who we believe should be their next coach, how they can repair the team, you know, how they need to pick up wide receivers in the draft, how they need to fix the defense. You know, the Bears need a lot of work. Also, how Mitch Trubisky needs to make that next step, you know, going into off-season OTAs and training camp. Maybe he could be that quarterback they expect him to be. So once again, this is Sports Chat with T-Wash signing out. Make sure you guys call up next Friday. I'll be looking forward to hearing from you.